Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. Now, today I want to talk about the signs that determine, that let you know, that support you in understanding that you are not the narcissist, even if your mother is actually indeed a narcissistic mother. And I want to start by asking you, does having a narcissistic mother mean that you are also a narcissist? Have you ever felt that way, or have you ever been afraid that that could be the case? That having a narcissistic mother actually means you are a narcissistic person too. And the more you learn about narcissism, the more you fear maybe that you may have inherited or learned traits from her, from your mother. Or has your mother ever told you that you are the narcissist and not her? And have you ever wondered if that's actually true? Is your greatest fear to risk turning into your mother? I've definitely felt that way. I've been afraid of becoming my mother despite all my best efforts. And I have definitely questioned myself and my behavior, especially since becoming a mother myself, but also in relating with my husband, for sure. And since learning about maternal narcissism, I've definitely come to question many, many times when I learned about a new manipulation tactic or a new strategy or a new thing, if I've done that, if I've been the one doing that, maybe to my children or to my partners or to my friends even. And it is also a question that I often get from clients. Am I the narcissist? How do I know that I'm not? So here is an episode that I hope will support you in gaining clarity on this. First of all, are we completely off in even considering the possibility of having narcissistic traits when we start realizing we have a narcissistic mother? I don't think so. Having been brought up by a mother who is toxic and emotionally immature is a traumatic experience, and their response to trauma can be taking on unconscious behaviors that can be hurtful and toxic to others around us. And having a narcissistic mother creates relational wounds, which will impact the way we relate to others, with particular importance in romantic relationships and when you become a parent. So, there is an importance in exploring the possibility of having aspects of your behavior that may be similar to your mother's, maybe absorbed by being in the presence of your mother growing up, and developed also as coping responses. So, questioning if some of the behaviors that you have a narcissistic flavor can actually be a very constructive thing to do. Now, without going all the way to self-loathing and putting yourself down, but like bringing an awareness to some behaviors. I have realized since I've started learning all of this and doing the work that I've been doing the last 6 years on narcissism and on myself on this topic, that I had behaviors towards my daughters, for example, that had narcissistic that they were partially narcissistic for sure. And does that make me a narcissistic mother? No, it doesn't. But it was important to address those behaviors for sure. And there has been a massive change in my relationship with my daughters since doing that. And the same within the relationship with my husband, for example. It's not a wrong thing to do to take a moment of self-reflection and be aware that this is a possibility, because we have been in contact with a person that had those behaviors since childhood, since growing up. So something must rub off and that can happen. And yet there's also the part where we tend to put ourselves down and gaslight ourselves because of the gaslighting we have received with our mothers. The part that tends not to trust your intuition and to put yourself down and feel like there's something wrong with your behavior all the time. That part is also there. So it's important to keep a balance. You can sort of be aware of the behaviors, but at the same time, make sure you're not falling into that constant doubting of yourself and also the gaslighting that comes from the gaslighting patterns with your mother. And because that part can lead you to believe that your mother must be right in telling you that you are indeed the narcissist. And she even, you know, the way she triangulates, so she might even have some, you know, her therapist to confirm that and tell her that she's fine, but that you're the one that's in the wrong, that you're the one that is toxic. Or maybe your other parent who's enabling her could also tell you that you are the one with issues, or also someone else of importance that your mother might call into the topic and use to back up her point that says that you are actually the one that's narcissistic, that you're the one that's behaving off, that you're the bad daughter and all of that. So this can cause a lot of confusion. And the point is, how can you tell if you are or not, if your behaviors are indeed narcissistic or not? So before we go into the five signs that will sort of, if those behaviors are part of your behaviors, then it means you're not a narcissist. Those are the five signs that I want to go into. But before we do that, I want to explore a little more the mechanism that may be fueling this confusion for you. There are four aspects that are important to mention here, some coming from inside of you and some actually coming directly from what your mother may be telling you. So I want to speak to that first. And the first one is the one that can come directly from your mother, which is gaslighting. So this is the first cause of confusion that can bring you to believe you are indeed the narcissist in the relationship with your mother, or at least the one behaving badly. Gaslighting from your narcissistic mother, which you have been exposed to from a very young age, leads you to never develop trust in your own intuition. So even if everything inside you tells you are right in reading the situation, like the relationship with your mother, for example, a loud part of you may doubt yourself and can lead you to feel you are the one constantly to blame, you're the one in the wrong. This can have a strong impact in all your relationships, actually also leading to find a partner who also gaslights you, just like your mother did. This can happen. Now, I'm not saying that every daughter of narcissistic mother finds a narcissistic husband or partner, because that's not true. But let's say that when we've experienced those behaviors and that kind of abuse growing up, that sort of impulse to go for familiarity, which is completely subconscious, it's not actually that we do it on purpose, but can bring us in contact with people that have similar behaviors to our mothers, especially when we're looking into relationships, because it is a relational wound, the one that we form with, that the one that's caused by having a narcissistic mother. So that dynamic can repeat itself in that relationship. So you may have been gaslighted by your mother, and now you're being gaslighted by your partner, and so you're really believing that there's something wrong with you, and you are overriding your intuition completely because you've learned not to trust that part of yourself, and you're taking more and more abuse and blaming yourself for it. So a narcissistic partner will make you the problem, never wanting to take their own responsibility. And it can get tricky to know what's true and what's not. So gaslighting can be the main reason why now you may be doubting yourself and thinking maybe I'm the narcissist, you know, like especially when I get that from clients where the entire family, because you have your narcissistic mother and you're trying to set boundaries, maybe you want to go no contact, maybe you want to start making your voice being heard, and then the entire family, which may be a bunch of enablers, ultimately actually turn against you as well. It can come to the point where you start questioning, maybe I'm the one seeing things, maybe I'm the one that is the bad person here or the one in the wrong. and indeed you're not. If your intuition and your system is actually telling you that things are off and that you're suffering as a result of it, there's definitely something there, and your system is letting you know that. But because we've been gaslighted for so long, we tend to end up gaslighting ourselves and believing that we are the one to blame. So this can be the one of the mechanisms that can cause this confusion. The second thing I want to speak to is the coping strategies that you've learned. So when we get triggered and caught in a trauma response, for example, we can end up showing behaviors that can be similar to narcissistic traits, such as getting momentarily self-absorbed in our own emotional experience, disregarding others in the moment, or maybe in the moment feeling entitled to get all the attention in a way that puts others in a second place. These behaviors are unconscious responses that can hurt others around us in the moment, and that when they become habitual and there's no taking responsibility for these behaviors, they indeed are narcissistic traits. So you may have observed these behaviors in your mother, in the dynamics in your family. And so sometimes if you get triggered, you may notice that you are falling into the same coping strategies in that moment. And this can create confusions, because you may start asking yourself if maybe you are the narcissist here. But these behaviors, when there are these like momentarily coping strategies, these are episodes. Okay, there are episodes in which a coping strategy took hold of you in a way that you're not fully aware just yet. But if you're willing to self-reflect and learn from that experience, then that's where the difference is. For example, narcissists will use the silent treatment to punish someone and get attention on themselves. But that is not the same as to be withdrawn when you're hurt and take responsibility afterwards once someone makes you notice that. So I know for myself, that would have been my thing. Like I would be more withdrawn. So if I feel hurt in a situation and my trauma response gets triggered, I'm more than likely going to close up and retreat into myself. Now, I'm not saying that that's healthy for a relationship, but that was a moment. And when I was made aware of that, then I actually started catching it, learning, and then change it. Has your mother done that? Mine hasn't. Mine still goes into the silent treatment and doesn't take any responsibility and none of that. So, but these coping strategies can be the cause of confusion, because they can seem very similar to your mother's behavior, and therefore they may cause you to question whether you also are a narcissist. The third mechanism, the third point, and I'm not yet talking about the differences here, I'm just giving you an overview of the possible mechanism that can lead to the confusion that you may be experiencing if you've questioned being a narcissist yourself. So the learned behaviors. Having been brought up by a narcissistic mother, you may have learned patterns of behavior from her, of course, because you've been brought up by her. For example, if your mother used to yell at you all the time, you may end up yelling too when in conflict, because this is what you've learned. Or if your mother was more the one that gives the silent treatment, you may have learned that this is the way to get attention and be more the withdrawn type. Or sometimes, instead of taking on her exact behavior, we take the opposite one as a reaction. So let's say if your mother yelled, you could be the withdrawn one now, because you don't want to yell like your mother did, but you go in the reaction and you go in the complete opposite of the spectrum. So this can lead you to believe you are toxic and narcissistic like your mother, when in fact you were just a child who learned these behaviors by being exposed to them. And again, change is possible, and I'm gonna go into the differences in a minute. And then the fourth mechanism that I want to talk to is the trauma reenactment. So you may have heard of this in trauma work. This is the process by which the subconscious tends to recreate the situation which traumatized you in the first place in an attempt to heal it. Now, because this is a subconscious process, it is ineffective, doesn't actually really work, but it can result in you noticing you have similar behaviors as your mother. Like, for example, if your mother used to yell at you, you may end up repeating this with your children and keep that kind of trauma, generational trauma, going, or with your partner, for example. Or you might find a partner who yells at you, and you may continue with a pattern of being withdrawn as a response. So we tend to recreate these traumatic experiences in our own life. And again, this can be the cause of confusion, because you may actually, like, for example, my mother has changed a lot of partners, has divorced and remarried a few times. And I instead have been with the same person for 17 years, and yet I knew there was a pattern in me that every now and again would cause some kind of a situation that could end the relationship. It's like my subconscious was trying to recreate the breaking up of the relationship, even though my rational part really didn't want that to happen. And again, that was a pattern that was ultimately coming from trauma reenactment. And once becoming aware of it, I shifted that and changed. So these four things, these four mechanisms, are just to explain aspects of why you may notice certain similarities with your mother's behavior. They can come from these four mechanisms or being a mix of all of them. So, with all this said, does all of that make you a narcissist? Are you at risk of being a narcissist? As I said earlier, in my experience, I had behaviors which resembled my mother's, for sure, and the line can be very subtle. What supported me a lot on my journey was finding the differences. So the sign that showed me I was not like my mother. And from there, you can actually heal what needs to heal and love yourself in the process, as you might come across aspects of you that are similar to your mother. That has been my experience. And that's why I want to share with you these five main signs that you're not a narcissist. And the last one is absolutely the main one. So stick with it till the end, because the last one is like the crucial one. So, and also what I want to say as well, if you're listening to this and you're like, you're listening to these five signs and you're like, shit, I actually don't do that. You know, I actually, oh God, maybe I'm the narcissist because I'm not doing that. Well, that awareness in itself actually changes everything, because if you listen to this and you have the capacity to actually feel into it and go, maybe there's some room for improvement in me in this aspect, well, that already in itself is a difference, a major difference. If you're questioning, there's a difference. A narcissist never questions. They are right. They're always, they hold the truth. They're always right. They never question anything. So that in itself is a major difference. And when I explain these five signs, I'm also giving you effectively what you can do to sort of support your system into not going into a narcissistic behavior by default. So the first difference that is really important is your intention, okay? That's really important. The intention behind your action is a fundamental difference. A narcissist is always self-serving in their words and actions. So no matter what they tell you, their intention is self-serving. That's it. And a narcissist doesn't admit to their subconscious intentions because they refuse to do the work to become aware of that. What are subconscious intentions? That's really a fundamental point to understand. They are what drives you from your subconscious, and they're a part that you're not aware of yet. And we all have them. This is really important. We all have subconscious intentions. Whether narcissistic people or not narcissistic people, we actually have some subconscious intentions, because the subconscious drives our life. And because it's in the subconscious, it's stuff that we're not aware of yet. Now, a narcissist will refuse to even admit to the possibility of having aspects of themselves they're not aware of, the so-called subconscious intentions. They don't have those. How could they possibly not know something about themselves, let alone act from that place without awareness? They're perfect. They're amazing. They are right. They know the truth. So that's impossible. Okay? So that's a major difference. You have subconscious intentions like everyone else, but the moment you actually become aware that that's even a possibility, you're aware that there's stuff about you you don't even know, and that stuff might be driving what you're doing, then you start sort of self-reflect and you start becoming aware of it, and gently, step by step, you bring that subconscious part into the conscious. Maybe you do shadow work, you get a mentor, a guide, someone that supports you with this, because obviously being in the subconscious, they're blind spots. We don't actually really see them by ourselves, so we need maybe some support from the outside, and so on and so forth, and that makes the difference. You learn to know how to tell the difference between your conscious and unconscious intentions and own them. Like, for example, this is something that is an example from my experience. It used to happen to me all the time. I used to comment on my daughter's choice of clothing. She's always been very independent. She's always been one that wanted to choose what she would wear and her own clothes from being very little, actually. But I would comment. And the conscious intention was I was doing that for her own good. I didn't want her to go out maybe dressed too light in the winter weather and get cold, or dressed in a way that has stains on her clothes, because I was afraid that maybe some other child would comment on that or whatever. That was my conscious intention. Now, the subconscious intention was that I was actually trying to hide my own shame in having her going around maybe with clothes that I believed could be judged by others, or me being judged as a bad mother if I sent her out in clothes that were too light and it was cold, or stuff like that. Which also go all the way back to being afraid of being judged and criticized by my mother. So now, knowing that, I actually stopped commenting on her clothes this a long time ago, unless it is truly for her own good. Like, there are some situations, and it actually happens really, really, really rarely, where I have to say something to support her, and it happens in a completely different way, and she's super safe to actually answer me and tell me her own perspective and all of that. So that has changed completely. That was a subconscious intention that drove what I was saying. And until you get aware of that possibility, at the very least, even if you don't know yet what the subconscious intention is, but you start feeling into that, that changes everything. A narcissist operates from the subconscious intentions by default, justifying it with the first one. So she'll say, a narcissistic mother will criticize your clothes and say that it's for your own good, and shaming you to hide her own shame, which she won't admit to. So by practicing self-awareness, you can learn to tell the difference and act accordingly. And as I say, I comment on my daughter's clothes a lot less, because I do know now that came from that subconscious kind of shame. So this is one of the first differences, the intention, and becoming aware of your subconscious intentions that drive what you do and drives what you say and drives your behavior. And then from there, you can support yourself into not acting from that subconscious intention anymore. Or even you can say it out loud. You can say, well, actually, I was about to tell you this, but this was coming from this place of shame inside myself, actually. So yeah, that's this communication wasn't safe because that's where I was coming from. A narcissist never does that. A narcissist just goes straight from their subconscious and shames you, blames you, makes you feel like crap, but it's all for hiding their own shame. So that's the first thing. The second difference is when we talk about blame. So a narcissist gets triggered and unconsciously projects blame at everyone else. By knowing your triggers and your values, you can stand for your values and protect yourself without shaming others or blaming them. So by learning where in life you feel shame, you can process that without projecting your own shame onto others too. So very similar to the conscious and subconscious intentions, but here we're talking just specifically about shame. This whole thing of going around blaming the world and judging everyone else, that's a very narcissistic behavior. And if you've seen your mother doing that all the time, I'm sure you have. I definitely have. My entire family actually did that all the time and still does. That is just to hide the shame that is inside. But when you become aware of that and you know that that's what's driving that behavior, then you can course correct. So again, if you're bringing awareness to that, that's a major difference, because a narcissist will never bring awareness to that. The third major difference is getting curious versus assuming. So a narcissist operates on assumptions because they hold the ultimate truth. If they feel a certain way, they assume the rest of the world should feel the same. My mother, for example, hated hiking. And every time she saw someone hiking, maybe on the side of the road, you know, with the big backpack, she would comment on how miserable they must feel and also how miserable they looked, in her opinion. As if that was a universal truth. I mean, everyone hates hiking. So these people that do it are obviously putting themselves through torture because they have some issues in their brains. That was her opinion. And I remember her saying this all the time. And the funny thing was that then she actually decided to take on a long pilgrimage, which was on foot. And at that point, hiking had become the best thing ever, and everyone should do the same pilgrimage that she did and walk long distance in order to be happy. So a lot of assumptions, yeah, like assumptions that everyone should hate it because she hated it, and so that's the universal truth. And then when she shifted to the opposite, which with my mother happened a lot, I don't know if you've ever experienced that with your narcissistic mother, one moment one truth is true and the next moment the absolute opposite becomes true magically. But the moment she changed her mind, then total assumption that everyone should love it, and they obviously do love it because she loves it, and zero curiosity and openness to the experience of each individual. So working from assumptions that whatever you're feeling is what everyone else feels, or whatever you think is the truth, everyone else should do that the same, should think the same, that's a narcissistic thing to do. Getting curious about others while owning what is true for you in your own experience is the medicine to that. So if that's what you're doing, if you are actually able to get curious about what other people experience while at the same time going, yeah, well, that's great for you, and this is my own experience, and you know, that's it. That's the medicine. That's not narcissism at all. The next main sign is taking responsibility. So a narcissist, and we know that, a narcissist never truly takes responsibility for their words or for their actions. They always have a justification for themselves, to all the way to the point of, as we said in the previous episode, narcissistic amnesia, right? So like they go as far as to remove from their awareness their bad behaviors, the memories of their bad behaviors, so that they never take responsibility for anything that they've done. And this keeps them in the right all the time. And at the same time, they have a lot of judgment of everyone else's. So don't touch their own behavior. Don't ever criticize them, but like criticize the rest of the world. So taking responsibility, it's very much not something that a narcissist would do. If you have ever stopped for a moment and actually taken responsibility for what you've said and what you've done and sincerely apologized, that's actually, that really makes you not a narcissist. And also, you may say, oh, well, but my mother maybe sometimes has taken responsibility. And narcissists can have an interesting way of doing so, which is absurd self-loading, like, oh yeah, I'm just so not good at that, you know, like it's not even that I've made a mistake, but I'm so unable to do that thing right, that was the only way it was gonna go. So it's like it's not actually taking responsibility, that's heaping a heap of self-loading in a very obvious way, so that the next person is gonna definitely say something like, oh no, come on, don't beat yourself up, you're not that bad at that, ah no, come on, that wasn't so bad. So it's like, it's again, is a manipulation game. Or the other one is victimhood, so they just fall into a hole of victimhood. That's not taking responsibility. Okay, taking responsibility is owning your part with courage, learning from your past to become a better version of yourself. And a narcissist doesn't do that. Now we got to the fifth point, which, as I said at the beginning, is the most important of all of these points. And this is receiving feedback. This is crucial. The capacity to receive uncomfortable, and I'm going to underline that, uncomfortable feedback from those you trust and love the most truly sets you apart from your narcissistic mother. I've always only saw my mother taking positive feedback, like praise or compliments, acknowledgements and stuff like that. She would take those and even say that she was so humble, like, you know, pretending to be humble. And we know that the whole public facade of a narcissist is so important. So they'll go out of their way to make sure that they're getting positive feedback. They'll do charity to make sure they're getting positive feedback. They'll cook the lunch for the neighbor. They'll volunteer. They'll go above and beyond to make sure that they get positive feedback. But not ever once my mother accepted something that was indeed uncomfortable to hear. And that capacity to take uncomfortable feedback, that is what makes a massive difference. That, like, if you're able to do that, you're definitely in the clear. There's no way you're a narcissistic person. It is uncomfortable when your child tells you she felt unsafe around you at times. I've had that. I've had my child coming to me going, Mom, you've been unsafe in my past. I was so damn uncomfortable to hear. But it's really, really true. And taking that feedback and taking responsibility for that made a huge difference to me and to my daughter. Or it is uncomfortable maybe when your partner tells you they feel it's hard to talk to you, to talk to you at times. I don't know, something like that. So if you can take this feedback and feel into your behavior without self-loading, but to learn from your experience and be a better person in your life, take responsibility, then you're definitely not a narcissist. So these five signs, again, if you've felt into one or more of those and went, oh, you know what? Maybe I actually do some of that. Does that mean I'm a narcissist? Well, first of all, in this episode, what I'm giving you is the narcissistic version of the behavior, but also the one that isn't. So there's like, if you're feeling into something and you're going, oh, crap, I actually hate uncomfortable feedback. It really makes me nervous. It makes me reactive. I get very upset and whatever. That's okay. That's okay. The difference between a narcissistic person and someone that is just having a moment is that you can recognize that behavior and go, okay, well, this is how I've been up until now. And I'm sorry about that if I've hurt anyone in the meantime. And this is also what I can do to learn from my behavior and gently shift it, and loving yourself through the entire process, because none of it makes you a bad person. We can't be aware of everything. And I know if I look back on my life, there's tons of stuff that I've done that I was not aware that I was doing at the time. And I had to apologize a ton of times with a lot of people. I actually had to reach back to friends from years ago and go, you know what? I've been an absolute horrible person to you at that point, and I was not aware of it, and I'm so, so, so sorry. And if there's ever anything that I can do to make it up to you, let me know. But just know that I'm actually deeply, really sorry. And I've heard back from some people that really appreciated it, and other people decided that maybe they really didn't even want to hear from me, and that's okay. But that doesn't make you a narcissistic person. Actually being able to catch a behavior and go, okay, maybe up until this point, this is the way I behaved because I've seen my mother doing this all the time, or this was my coping strategy, or I just wasn't really aware and I didn't know. I didn't even know subconscious intentions were a thing, so how could I be aware of them? But now you know it, and that level of self-reflection and the willingness of taking uncomfortable feedback from the people that you love, like even just going, if you have children of an age that you can do this, going down to your kids and go, let me know, give me feedback. I want to hear from you if I'm saying things that are unsafe or if I behave in ways that upset you. Give me this feedback. I want to know from you. Or to your partner, if you have a relationship where you can trust each other and speak to these things, or to your friends, maybe people that you trust. That can be a major step. And a narcissistic person doesn't do that. Ever. Ever. If they did, we'd be fine. I mean, if your mother all of a sudden came to you and honestly, sincerely went, darling, I want to hear the feedback that you have for me. All the shit that I've done to you that has hurt you, I want you to tell me so that I can take full responsibility and I can actually be a better person from this point on. I'm so sorry about what I've done so far that I wasn't aware of, but from now on, I truly want to be aware of it. That's the healing, isn't it? Like, I mean, if my mother came to me and said that to me, that'd be it. Like, that's it. That's the change. That's what it's highly, highly, highly unlikely to happen when you're dealing with a narcissistic mother or any narcissist for that matter. But if you can do that, well, then you're definitely not a narcissistic person. And you may have the episodes of behaviors because, as we said earlier, coping strategies, trauma responses, trauma reenactment, and all of that. But if you're able to take feedback, you're able to feel in your subconscious intention and acknowledge that those are there. If you're able to take responsibility, and if you're able to get curious about other people and not project and blame everyone else, then you can be sure that there's a big difference and you're definitely not a narcissist. So I really hope that this episode supported you in gaining some clarity on this topic. And if you have any questions, you can send an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And also feel free to share your experience and leave a comment. That's always helpful for everyone else listening in. And with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week and lots of love. Bye for now.